Hello, my name's Ed Reardon. Occupation writer, it says on my Berkhamsted Job Seekers discount card. But I think you'd all agree that scarcity does justice to the range of my literary activities over the last 35 years. I'm the author of several plays, television dramas, many works of non-fiction, letters to the newspapers about the pitiful decline, well, the open sewer, really, that is the current condition of British screenwriting. But we get on to Nick Hornby and Andrew Davies in due course. No, and Tom Stoppard, he's another one who's everywhere at the moment. But the next 3 hours isn't about them, it's about me, because I've been asked by the senior editor of Recycling, or whatever it's called, Radio 4 Extra, to curate, as the 12-year-olds in the media say, as in the phrase, "I'll be down for dinner in a minute, Mum, I'm just curating my homework." So, to curate a fly-on-the-wall look at Ed Reardon's life. No, sorry, the journey of Ed Reardon's life, as the begging email said. Begging me, that is, to curate this journey for no money, which completely overlooks the fact that there's an actual journey to be made first from Berkhamsted to Broadcasting House. Now, I'm not unaccompanied on this journey, because sitting on the other side of the glass is Martin in his beard and keep calm and carry on up the Khyber t-shirt. Martin is our producer from Radio 4 Extra, who I imagine is being paid. Not that you'd know that from the state of his airline bag on the empty seat next to him, bristling with amusing stickers like "I have walked the Berkis way" and "Ray's still a laugh." Anyway, he's there and I'm here. Notwithstanding the fact that I might want to be doing something else, like spending the time in Betfred, or indeed having a swim. Which brings us rather neatly to the subject of this first chapter of the novel that is Ed Reardon's life. While you're listening to it, I'll just study this list I've been given, showing me the sandwiches I'm allowed to order. Oh dear. Corned beef, potted meat, brawn. I think this menu must have been from when the curators of the Navy Lark or Life with the Lions were in the other day. Very meagre life indeed, by the look of it. Can't remember the time when I last ate pork haslet. I'm sorry, Martin, I thought because I was curating six episodes, I'd naturally be allowed to order six sandwiches on this form you've given me, one between each programme, do you see? That's why I ticked all the boxes. So do I have to start all over again? Martin? He's not listening to me. I mean, he's got his headphones on. Compliance forms spread out in front of him. What he has to do, I think, is check how many minutes are left in the Goon Show once the scissors of political correctness have been wielded. About 4.5 per episode, I'd have thought. Once he's taken out all the references nobody even got at the time, he's in grave danger of ending up with 2 hours of dead air between 3 and 5 tomorrow morning. Ah, yes, thought so. He's reaching for the box cassettes marked Paul Temple to be on the safe side. Martin, what about bottles of mineral water? Do I just get one of them too? Doesn't have to be from a particular mountain spring. I'm not fussy. Just honest bottled Tesco tap water. Hmm? Nope, nothing. He's jiggling his leg now. No doubt in time to the keynotes or the Fraser Hayes 4. You see, that was when the BBC could afford to have musical interludes between skits. What Wally Stott would have made of these cutbacks, I shudder to think he'd be turning in his grave. What's that, Martin? Ah, yes, turning in her grave, yes. Yeah, you heard that bit all right. Now, look, Martin, about this sandwich, I really am going to need more than one if I'm going to make a decent fist of this journey. Bet Griffreys Jones doesn't have to put up with this when he kayaks through the Brecon Beacons or rescues a church, or any of those other celebrity explorers like the pub landlord going in a Morris Minor in search of the Holy Grail, or Alexei Sayle's quest for... Where does he go after? Oh, God, I don't know. Caravaggio. Well, my quest, Martin, is for a BLT with a bag of kettle chips on the side, washed down by a mango smoothie. I mean, those BBC Four things are all written by the producer anyway, whereas Ed Reardon, I have to say, is the genuine writing article. You know, I can turn my hand to anything from a verse play about Thomas Aquinas to, my current project, the Stig's Xmas Book of Speed Camera Locations. Or a misery memoir, as you're about to hear. Ah, Martin's fetching something out of his airline bag. This could be the sandwiches. It looks promising. Oh, it's a jumbo Snickers bar, which he's proceeding to eat himself. I mean, it just beggars belief, this. And I just tell them to bugger off and stuff their money. I mean, I'd already got a large house in North London out of selling the rights to Who Would Fardel's Bears. How many large houses in North London do you need, for heaven's sake? I suppose another one would have been useful, then I might have been able to hang on to it after the divorce, but, you know, we're all experts in hindsight, aren't we? Oh, are we back? Sorry, I was just filling Martin in on how I came to live in Berkhamsted and why I don't see as much of my family as I might, especially come birthdays and Christmas time. But, well, for some people the cards have fallen rather better than for others, and luck's no great respecter of the deserving. Sorry, I've just taken my sandals off. It's really getting quite hot in here. But the fine old city of Berkhamsted gives me exactly what I want out of life. Now, you're probably thinking that not having a cathedral, Berkhamsted isn't technically a city, but in fact it was upgraded under new government guidelines once the Waitrose arrived. And of course the transport connections are second to none, with or without the good offices of my Lord Branson. If I set off down the canal towpath, 10 hours later I can be in central London for a tea time meeting with my agent. So, you know, there you are. As for companionship, Elgar has been at my side, or on my lap, and asleep on my keyboard for a good number of years now. He's seen me through debt, despair, drunkenness, depression, all the buffeting vicissitudes of the life literary. Yet Elgar's never gone hungry. Unlike me, by the way, Martin. And in return, he bestows on his master unquestioning loyalty, like a faithful Tonto or Dr. Watson, though not the one in its latest egregious TV incarnation, helping Holmes to find clues in the agony column of Heat magazine. So, as you might imagine, indeed are about to find out, anyone coming between me and my cat does so at their peril. Martin, I really am getting very thirsty now. You're listening to Radio 4 Extra, a station of choice for insomniacs, coast guards, and those who prefer the world as it was prior to 1982. It's also, I think, increasingly become a safe haven for those fleeing from the likes of Claire Balding and Stephen Fry on Radio 4, or from an unexpected puzzle corner on Radio 3. You know, the other day, I had to retune very hastily indeed from Radio 5 Live after an over-familiar weatherman told me to take care. I accidentally stumbled upon a three-hour session of ambient smugness on 6 Music. So, 4 Extras, a sort of last refuge before one gives up on the radio altogether and takes a P.G. Woodhouse down from one's bookshelves. You might even say it's a broadcasting equivalent of the middle-aged man's shed we hear so much about these days. So, if you've just tuned in, welcome to Ed's Shed. You are among friends. Now, quite what we do next is, as is often the case with shed activity, a bit of a mystery, because the next page of the script appears to have suffered from an ink cartridge failure. Apart from the magenta, all the other colours in my printer seem to have run out, so those topped-up recycled cartridges appear to have been a bit of a false economy, especially after I had to have my trousers dry-cleaned when the cyan one leaked. So I actually can't see anything at all apart from a sort of thick pink stripe. Possibly it'll tell you what's coming next on your digital radio display. I don't know if the text running across the little window is as painfully slow as mine. You might want to get started on the P.G. Woodhouse straight away. You know, I was listening to a recital the other day, and I couldn't recognise the piece. I looked at my Pure Evoque for guidance. It took about 20 minutes to tell me I was listening to the radio. BBC lunchtime concert, it said, at the speed of a medieval mason. Well, I knew that. If it was a prom, I'd have been in my shorts, lying on the floor at the Albert Hall. What is the name of the piece? I mean, it's so infuriating. I very quickly went out to the kitchen to top up my glass, and by the time I come back, the screen was telling me I was listening to the radio again. So it's a completely, utterly pointless piece of technology. Right. Thanks to a handwritten note from Martin's Blake 7 Convention 2003 pencil, I can reveal that we're moving on from Ed's shed to an equally illustrious garden structure in the depths of Kent, where was filmed one of the best-loved British children's programmes of all time, Parsnip Junction. You do know, Martin, don't you, that Leslie Phillips fought in the Spanish Civil War? Oh, yeah. Now, again, I have to apologise to Radio 4 Extra listeners for any contemporary references that might have gone right over your heads. I think I heard mentioned in the last one of both Kevin Peterson and Jensen Button. Anyway, reassurance is at hand because the next episode is all about events that kicked off, as they say on Newsnight Review, in the long hot summer of 1976, when Ed Reardon was an exciting young novelist mentioned in the same breath as Ian McEwan and Martin Amis. Do I see their names mentioned anywhere in the Radio 4 extra schedules? No, I don't believe I do. Some fall by the wayside, others survive. Now, have I got time to nip out to the Corals round the corner for my weekly Lucky 15, Martin? Martin? No answer. Both legs jiggling now, grooving along to the theme tune from The Attractive Young Rabbi, I expect. I think I'll risk it. On my way in, I notice there's a sandwich bar next to the bookies, which offers a 3-for-2 deal on samosas. I'm assuming there are chickpeas involved. Nevertheless, all being well, it should result in what those of us who like a bet call being up on the day. I shouldn't be long. Oh, sandals. Ah.
Ed, are you in there? Ed? What else have we got?
It's all right, Martin. You don't need to play that. I'm back now. You're listening to Radio 4 Extra, the station with a proper respect for quality work of the past. Unusual, I think you'll agree, in this age of stand-up superficiality, Stephanomics and the like. Unfortunately, Radio 4 Extra also adopts an austerity attitude towards its talent. The brutal truth is that after the best part of 3 hours at the microphone, I have been driven to gambling in order to raise the price of a bag of falafel balls. Excuse me. Just to correct any misleading impression that my Lucky 15 was in any respect fortuitous, I managed to get these in exchange for my laminated BBC day pass. The proprietor of Falafel Ball Cottage took a shine to it and wanted it as a souvenir, possibly because I'd light-heartedly written the name Pol Pot on it. Anyway, giving the badge away led to certain difficulties getting past reception and back into the building. However, all is now as well as it's ever likely to be for a freelancer in this haunt of the salaried. And we come to the final movement of what Martin refers to as the Edathon. I trust you'll enjoy it. It's called Original British Drama, and it treats of another occasion on which I was ill-used by the corporation. And by the time it finishes, I shall be hiding in the toilet of a train bound for Berkhamsted. Undisturbed, hopefully, if the out-of-order sign does its stuff. But rueing the day, I replied to the email from Martin, which began, "Greetings, Sir Ed of Reardonshire," and ended, "Have a great week, 46. So, I hope you've enjoyed this, because I certainly haven't. Goodbye. Absolutely.